It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. The Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes. And it's Thursday, which means it is on the radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher, Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Happy Lightning Thursday to you, sir.
Good morning to you as well, Mark. Happy to be back in the Lightning saddle for another issue of Hendersonville Lightning and Lightning Radio.
We've got a big one this time. We've got a big one. Of course, we just had the big Super Tuesday election. So let's get started with that, Bill. Voters, Henderson County voters, sent a message. What's that message, Bill?
That message is, listen to us. Don't put disruptive commercial land uses in rural residential areas. And don't allow building next to creeks and rivers and streams, which are already flooding to a fairly well and turning the city into an island after we had 6 inches of rain in mid-January, which sort of punctuated and put a little bit of an exclamation point and reminder, I think, for voters that, wait a minute, this is, and in this environment, our county commissioners back in October actually voted to allow more building in the floodway, as we like to say. The floodway is the part closest to the body of water.
Right.
The floodplain is further out. So this was to allow building, to at least allow, and they've tried to parse it a little bit by saying, well, we're allowing them to apply. Well, if you allow them to apply, that means there certainly is a possibility, the potential for allowing them to build or to do berms, or a lot of times they said, well, it's just to replace berms or, you know, on farmland and that sort of thing. But well, it's votes like that that I think hurt these incumbents.
Well, and I think also the 2045 comprehensive plan.
Oh, yeah. Farm preservation.
Where they've really kind of, the commissioners have kind of really drawn back on what the public said they wanted, ultimately.
And what the Henderson County Planning Board sent up to them in the form of many, many, probably a dozen or more recommendations having to do with farmland preservation, land conservation, steep slope building, and floodplain protection. Yes.
Right.
I would say, this is Sheila Franklin speaking, when we, the Lightning asked Sheila Franklin, what happened? that's an easy one, she said. I think it happened because people are paying attention to how they're voting, and they're upset with the way the zoning has been. I would say maybe they're out of touch with the communities that they're serving. They're not listening. I really think it happened because people are upset with the growth and so forth. Jay Egoff, who defeated Commissioner Hill, that was Commissioner Franklin defeating the incumbent Daniel Andreotta. Egoff defeated Commissioner Hill by also a wide margin, but not as quite as wide. Looking back on it, it seemed David and Daniel believed that the same on growth. Anything can go. Anybody can do what they want on their own property. Voters he encountered said, I believe that approach was wrong. They wanted to say, time out, wait a second. David ran a good race, and he's a nice guy, but growth was on everyone's mind. And I think that is the theme of the election for sure. So we still have...
Right, it's not over.
That's exactly right. It is barring an unprecedented riding campaign over in District 5, where Jay Goff will be installed in December. But in District 2, Sheila Franklin goes on to face Democrat Eric Weber in the November 5 general election.
Right, Democrat Eric Weber,
Now, they will be trotting much the same ground when it comes to these topics.
How's he going to differentiate himself from her?
We'll see what kind of language and positions and rhetoric he comes up with. But there's not too much daylight between their two positions on these hot topics. That are driving voters.
Now, Sheila Franklin was Mills River Town Council, right?
No, Mills River.
I'm sorry, Fletcher.
Fletcher, and currently you. Is. They'll have to fill her seat for the remainder of her term, which I believe is two more years, and same for the school board, and Jay Egoff, he's chair.
Right, he's chair.
And they will have to fill his seat in December.
Right.
I believe I looked up that they're sworn in, I think it's December 5.
And we'll talk about that school board election here in just a moment, too, and continue on with that. But here's my question. Franklin and Egoff don't get sworn in as commissioners until December.
Correct.
will the vote for the 2045 comprehensive plan be before December?
Well, for sure it will be. As far as the overall document, which is more almost thematic and policy, all of these things they've been working on are more like goals still to come, and very interesting to watch is what actual zoning they apply on the ground.
Okay.
To every part, because the county is zoned countywide now, of course, to every piece of real estate, to every piece of ground, all the dirt, or existing buildings in the whole county.
Okay.
And that's what the comp plan with the goals and policies and so forth is a tabletop, and on that tabletop comes broader land use and zoning, which is whether that gets done by December, I suspect it will, but that's going to take a while. That's the next process. The first is the overall comp plan.
Okay. Interesting. Let's stay on elections, Bill. School board, same thing. We had Republicans in the primary, no Democrats in the primary because they only had four. There were only four Democrats running for four seats, but we had six Republicans, so we had to have the primary. So talk to us about those results.
The winners of that Republican primary nominee that go on to the November 5 election are Amy Lynn Holt, the former member and former chair who left 4 years ago and decided she missed it and wanted to come back. Kathy Revis, who wins, I think, a third term. Newcomer Beth Campbell and incumbent Robert Bridges. And they face Democrats Mary Ellen Custin, Leslie Carey, Crystal Colley, and Rhonda Mountain in the November 5 general election, as we mentioned.
So for us, this was history in the making because this was the first ever primary we've ever had to have for the Board of Education.
That's right. The county, the state legislature switched it from nonpartisan to partisan last year in 2023, which I'm glad you mentioned that because that triggered to me and the reporter Amy McCraw were working on this. I said, well, we need to find out the process for replacing Jay Egolf. And the reason I say that, potentially, we don't know yet. We're finding out from the local Board of Elections, which is checking with the state Board of Elections. If this were a county commission seat, and he is a Republican, Jay, the Henderson County Republican Executive Committee would send a name to the Board of Commissioners. It would vote on one, and it would send a name to Board of Commissioners for that. I don't know if that's going to be the case for school board or not.
Right.
But it is partisan, so that suggests to me that will be the case.
So, and once again, those four Republican school board folks who won that vote, they will go up against four Democrats in the general election coming up on November the 5th.
Correct. And every voter will be able to vote for four because there are four seats.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that is it is just a plurality situation.
Sure.
So if it's, you know, if it's like if they're all around 18 points, let's see, or 21, let's see, I guess Holt was at 21%. They were all hovering around the same 20 points. 20.17%, 19%, and 18%. So there probably will be something similar to that in November.
Sure, I believe that. So these are all stories you can get right now on the website, on HendersonLightning.com, because these are truly, truly just hot off the presses. So let's get to the print, Bill, and let's talk front page. It's kind of an Ask Matt and Bill front page, right?
Yes, it's an extravaganza of Ask Matt. And with an assist from me on a couple of these things that I happen to be following, I said, you know, this, instead of a news brief or a little story, would make a good Ask Matt.
Absolutely.
Because people were indeed asking, in this case, Bill. It was an Ask Bill, too.
Yeah.
Which opens with, we get this all the time, what is the status of the Mansouri Mansion property? There's a small rent sale sign on the site, but no commercial listing. That's a hard question to answer, but the answer is nothing right now.
Yeah.
We spoke with Werner Mansouri, one of the two sons of Hassan Mansouri, who died in 2020.
Yeah.
Hassan, the father, did.
Yep.
Mr. Mansouri bought the historic Woodfield Inn and the surrounding 23 acres in 2009, made a few repairs, changed the name, attempted to market it as a result. It's valued on the tax books at $2.6 million. The son, who lives in Myrtle Beach, the other one lives in Bahrain, I think, was tight-lipped. We're not talking to any newspapers right now, maybe in the future. He asked if he expected to announce anything soon, because we say that because Mayor Nick Weedman at sometimes will tell us that the other brother, Kareem, tells him, oh, we'll have an announcement soon. But we ask Werner this, and he says, no, I don't. Here's something I credit Bruce Holiday with, because he featured it, and we credit at the, in the shirt tail, at the tail end of the story, we say, thanks, Bruce. Some not brand new background, but he combed like four or five different books or articles by Flat Rock historians going into the start of the of what used to be called the Farmer Hotel. But before that, opened in 1852 as the Flat Rock Hotel, the inn boasted original investors who were a who's who of low country luminaries and early Flat Rock settlers. Do you want to hear these names?
Sure, absolutely.
Everyone, nearly everyone listening will be familiar with some or most of these names, maybe all. Charles Baring, Judge Mitchell King, whose property became Claremont, and who used to ride on that that King Bridal Trail all the way from Claremont to St. John in the Wilderness.
Right.
On the King Bridal Trail. Andrew Johnstone, Edmund Molinax, William Young, Richard H. Lowndes. Why is that familiar? The
Lowndes House
on the campus of the Flat Rock Playhouse. Matthew R. Singleton. Lots of Singletons migrated up here. Dr. Mitchell King. William Aiken, South Carolina governor from 1844 to 1846. And Henry T. Farmer. So then in October of 1853, the shareholder sold to that one shareholder, Henry Tudor Squire Farmer, who operated it as the Farmer Hotel, or sometimes known as Farmer's Hotel. And back to Mr. Mansouri, this is why it's not that easy to sort out the estate, apparently. Besides the historic inn, Mr. Mansouri owned 25 more real estate parcels in Henderson County, valued in 2020. We need to update that, but at $10.4 million, according to land records. One of them is behind the parking lot of Flat Rock Village Bakery, right? And the other one is directly across from the Grove Street Courthouse, because there's identical signs, red on white signs, that say rent sale with an 843 Myrtle Beach, South Carolina phone number. All of those are Mr. Mansouri's property.
Do they not also own that little hotel motel thing,
yes,
like right across the street from the Woodfield,
right, yeah,
just about?
Yeah, he owned that. He owned that as well.
You were here for the previous glory of the Woodfield Inn, back when they had that incredible Sunday brunch open to the public and all of that.
Yeah, I was there. I was here when it was owned by the Little River Band.
Who was the next owner, the bass player for the Little River Band.
That's right.
And he turned the restaurant into a seafood restaurant.
Yeah, that didn't pan out so well.
It did not pan out so well. But where we used to live, where we live on Robert E. Lee Drive back there, when the band would come and play, we could just sit on our back porch and listen to the Little River Band. We could hear it.
And then
there were some other owners afterwards that did a bar and all that sort of thing, and just never came through.
I'll give you one.
Please do.
Interesting fun fact, personal trivia, right?
Yeah.
Probably the best, back when the Times News was owned, for people who don't know, I was running the Times News at the time.
Yeah.
Probably the best Christmas party we ever had when the paper was doing pretty well, and they'd let us have big Christmas parties.
Yeah.
When the New York Times owned it, was at the Woodfield Inn.
Oh, of course.
We rented the whole thing, and it was pretty shortly after that, it wasn't doing well at all, but it was a fine night that time of the Woodfield Inn.
That was such a great place. Everyone I know misses it.
There is, in the Lightning talking to Mayor Weedman, there is plenty of interest if this could be turned loose from all the estate red tape. There is plenty of interest in it. I don't know what but it'll come back at some point. It just needs to come back before it falls down.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about a couple of other things in the Flat Rock area. The clearing on 25 just past Claremont, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's a great interest and lots of questions in that. What is going on that clearing on Greenville Highway south of Kenmure that backs up to the aforementioned Claremont
on
neighborhood?
And it's on the left.
It is on the left.
If you're going out of town.
If you're going down towards Zirconia. a big house.
Yes.
They ask Matt and ask Bill answer. The terrace lot that backs up to the Claremont subdivision on the east side of the road will be the site, if this gets built, of a two-story, 10,000-square-foot home with 8 bedrooms and 3 baths, according to the building permit. Property owners are Deborah and Keith Halterman. A news story from 2009 described that the Lightning found described Mr. Halterman's 2-car dealership in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, but it's unclear whether he still owns them. A zoning permit the Village of Flat Rock issued in 2022 did issue a Pennsylvania snail mail address. Current records show a Denver, Colorado snail mail address for the couple.
It's taken a long time to do what they've done so far.
It's taken a long time, and there's not a stop work order, but you'd think there was. We couldn't confirm some chatter that he switched architects, but we don't know why nothing's going on.
Gotcha.
Right now.
Gotcha.
But there's been a lot of investment already. It's very nicely terraced. I had someone say, I don't know if they needed to take down that many trees. The lot is 8.6 acres. So it looks like they cleared a lot of it, maybe not all. But and it seems like they could have saved that, you know, cleared, I mean, left some trees as a buffer right on Greenville Highway. And, you know, if you're going to spend that much on a house, it seems like you would have given yourself a buffer.
Yeah.
Also, what's going on with Bold Life? Well, Bold Life retired.
Right. If you're looking for Bold Life magazine, I had a really great conversation with Remus. They said after 20 years, they've got some other publications that they wanted to focus on a little bit more and work a little less hard.
Yeah, they have the Asheville Made and they have Carolina Home and Garden, which are good slick products that do well. I think they probably did better than Bold Life. So while the Lightning thrives, others seem to be falling away.
Well. That's the way of the wind. That's the way of the wind. That's the way it works. There's also another clearing on Highway 25 that's on the way into town. That's on the right if you're on the way into town. You and I were talking about that off mic. I had assumed, I was under the impression that was going to be one big home, but you said when the person asked for the zoning, it was going to be 4 homes.
Well, you've heard newer news, which I have no reason to question. All I know is that when the developer slash landowner slash home builder came to the Henderson County Board of Commissioners and won that rezoning, he got approval for, I'm pretty sure it was 4, still fairly large, you know, maybe 2,000 to 2,500 square foot homes.
Yep.
But that didn't hold him to that, of course. So you've heard maybe just one single big home.
I had heard that, but 4 would make a whole lot more sense.
Well, it may. We'll see what happens.
All right. Folks, we still got more to cover. Charlotte the Stingray was featured on Saturday Night Live, and we've got other things to talk about. Local news right here on the queue. You're listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Cold weather is coming, so now is the time to get prepared. Kaysen Oil has quality heating oil products and experience you can trust. Let the experts at Kaysen Oil help you heat your home with reputable brands, superior customer service, and competitive prices. Call Kaysen Oil at 693-0246 today to schedule your delivery. Kaysen Oil, family owned and operated, serving the community for over 50 years. Again, the number to call is 693-0246. Kaysen Oil, stay warm and stay fueled.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background, paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft. With Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Crusty hot pretzels. Ooh. 21 chicken stew. Ooh. Crab cake Benedict. Ooh.
Slim.
Howdy there, just Paige. I'm exercising.
Exercising what?
My abs. Every time I read off one of those delicious menu items from Shine Restaurant and Bar, my tummy goes to flipping. Like a Texas tumbleweed just broke from its roots.
Non-traditional form of exercise, huh?
It's just like them mouth-watering vittles at Shine. You can't put a label on them. Ooh, just Paige. Listen to this. Craft beer. Kick. Domestics. Kick. ciders.
Kit?
What are you doing now?
Tap dancing. Shine has a full wall of craft beer and cider taps that put a real kick in your step. Want to feel my leg muscles?
That's okay, Cowboy Slim. I think I'll just tell Q Nation exceptional experiences are happening at Shine Restaurant and Bar. It's the perfect place to make new traditions. Open Wednesday through Friday at 3 and serving Saturday and Sunday brunch from 11 to 2:30. Visit the website shinehvl.com.
Resi-vation.
Let me guess. Finger exercises?
Woohoo! When do you see how I exercise my taste buds?
Shine Restaurant and Bar on Main Street.
And we are back with Lightning Radio, getting behind the headlines of this week's Lightning with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we've been talking about this story for a bit, and it's moved on a little bit further, and that's the fact that the Hendersonville police agreed to turn over video from the shooting that took place in the parking lot at the Orchards.
Correct, yeah. In last week's issue, we advanced this story and talked about how the city had agreed with Mrs. King, the mother of the shooting victim, to ask a judge to release all the body cam and dash cam footage. This was coverage of that hearing on Monday afternoon by reporter Amy McCraw, where Hendersonville Police Chief Blair Mahan agreed on Monday in open court to show the victim's mother surveillance footage. This would be the fifth piece of footage of the shooting of her son, 30-year-old Elijah Edwards Timmons III, of Asheville in the early morning hours after Thanksgiving Day, last November. He did say outside the courtroom that he agreed to meet with Patricia Ann King and review that surveillance footage. We've been told, and Lightning is reported, that it's dark and grainy and not very vivid at all, but she will be able to see what she can see. She's really not assuaged by any of these developments, despite the fact the city is agreeing to turn all of the footage there is over. But she still insists, as she says in court, he could have been charged with something. This was the case where they declared it self-defense and have filed no charges in this shooting death.
Right.
I've seen what I've seen. They're telling me now I've seen something different. So it goes on, and we'll continue to follow that. The other news that came out of the hearing was that after officers arrested King on the night of the shooting, charged her with resisting a public officer and punching a sheriff's deputy, District Attorney Andrew Murray has now dismissed, back on February 19, those charges. In light of her son being shot and killed, I didn't feel it was in the best interest of justice to proceed, the District Attorney said, adding that officers involved agreed with his decision. I hate it for everybody. So on that one goes.
All right. And the Lightning will continue following that story. County creates Farm Preservation Task Force. Get behind the headline on this one, Bill, for us.
Well, we just talked a little while ago about the farmland preservation to the extent that was pretty aggressively addressed in the comp plan. It really hasn't been too aggressively addressed. So this looked like it could have been a little bit of a CYA move the night before the Tuesday primary election. Say, oh, look, we just created a farmland preservation task force. So all is well in our pro-conservation bona fides, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that might have been a little bit too little too late. But they are going to get this going. As it turns out, Commissioner Hill, along with Chair Rebecca McCall, are the appointed county commission representatives of the task force, which will also be made up of a representative from the Federal Soil and Water Conservation Service, the North Carolina Cooperative Extension, North Carolina Farm Bureau, Ag HC, plus, quote, a few regular people that aren't associated with those groups, according to Rebecca McCall, and someone from Conserving Carolina, because they have a lot of knowledge and they deal with this every day.
Okay.
That did not – the harmonious discussion about farm preservation and forming a task force did not go without challenge, however, when Michael Edney, he read from a list of restrictions imposed on a conservation easement in a 40-page legal document. Edney, an attorney, said, if you put land in conservancy, you cannot subdivide it, this particular agreement said. You can't grade it and sod farm it or do any kind of earth movement that will deteriorate the soil. You can't drive motor vehicles on it except for farm vehicles on farm roads. I'm for farmland preservation, but I'm not 100% sure this is the proper way to get there, causing Kieran Rowe, the executive director of Conserving Carolina, to rise to object. When we talk about farmland preservation, Kieran Rowe said, we're talking about conservation easements, legal agreements between the landowner and the agency that holds the easement, and they're voluntary. So everyone that we do is with the voluntary cooperation of the landowners that want to do this. And this idea that someone like the government is telling you what you can do is just wrong. So Kieran Rowe defends them because Conserving Carolina has been doing them for many, many years.
Sure, of course. Of course. Interesting. Charlotte the Stingray is continuing to get national coverage, spoofed and starred, if you will, on Saturday Night Live recently.
Yes. Who is Charlotte? Well, she's followed around the world. Uh-huh. She's been featured in dozens of television news reports and spoofed before this spoof on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Now, Charlotte the Stingray, Hendersonville's own international aquatic star, has taken a turn on the ultimate pop culture platform on Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update.
Yeah, and you've got a picture here, too, of the comedian actress Ego Nwadom, I believe is her name,
yeah,
in this incredible stingray costume. And, of course, she's got earrings that say Charlotte.
And she's sitting here with the great co-anchor of Weekend Update, Michael Che.
Yeah, yeah.
Who,
yeah.
I'm just going to say, she, this it, is from,
she's
the,
a bit accusatory.
This is from the website Vulture.
Yeah.
Dwanam dons a massive tent-like get-up with gold hoop earrings to play Charlotte. We barely had time to digest this wild costume before Charlotte starts assuring everyone she's not actually a virgin and that Michael Che is, in fact, the father.
Right. Right.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Exactly. That's kind of how it was spoofed that, also.
You can find it on YouTube if you like. You can read the rest of the words on tendersonvillelightning.com or in page 6 of this week's Lightning.
Well, as we all say, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Just spell my name.
They spelled her name
just
right.
Just spell my name right. Exactly. All right, Charlotte, I'm sure there's more national coverage to come for you. Mills River Council has appointed someone to fill a slot. Tell us this story, Bill.
Yeah. We unfortunately had to miss that meeting, but last Thursday night, Mayor Pro Tem Randy Austin resigned, and soon after that, the Mills River Town Council appointed Shay Davis, a former council member and a four-year mayor of the town of Mills River, to serve the balance of his term, which expires. We've been talking about when these terms expire, which expires in December. When I ran for council in 2019, I committed to serve a four-year term on the board, and I'm proud of the work we accomplished during that time frame. And the reason he said that is you talked about the nonpartisan to partisan school board.
Yeah.
The other change that the legislature did to all of our municipalities is move elections from odd to even numbered years. So that created those who were in 4-year terms, 5-year terms.
Uh-huh.
And Randy's point was, well, I committed to 4 years and my 4 years are up. My 4 years were up last December when the election should have taken place. Councilman Jeff Young was selected to serve as mayor pro tem. Among Randy's accomplishments were some really important ones. Leading the council's move to establish stricter architectural design standards in commercial areas and to create a farmland preservation program. Where have we heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
So they were ahead of the game on that.
Right. Absolutely. Bill, we've got time for a couple more quick ones here. Beam me up. The city has marked a milestone in that big fire station number one project that's going on across from Hendersonville High School.
Yeah, absolutely. A story that has the benefit of being fun and important. With this beam signing commemoration on February 27th, the Lightning was among the signers of the beam.
Okay.
With the magic marker kind of thing.
Yep.
And we show Doug Hebb, a retired city firefighter, signing the beam. And we show the leadership of the fire department in front of the beam. The next day, a crane put the 70-foot, 3.5-ton beam in place to support the roof over the fire truck bay of the new fire station, which they may be operating out of really nice quarters by Memorial Day.
Yep.
If this could happen, if you think about that corner with the Laura Korn putt-putt course and the VFW Hall, mm-hmm. which they're trying to open by July 4th
yeah.
because it's for military
really?
Veterans by uh-huh. the 4th they're shooting for. And this, if it's open around Memorial Day, wow. And the new and the improvement they've already made to the Five Points intersection and the new high school across the road, wow. That's a whole brand new part of town.
It really is. It's hard for me to believe after driving by the fire station a few times that that's going to be finished by Memorial Day.
It is me too.
But I hope so.
I was in it. And I said, "Yeah, it's dried in except for the bays."
Right.
But I said, "Really?" I said, "They're going to have to hustle inside because
yeah.
it's nowhere near finished now."
Right.
Inside.
Bill, we got time to squeeze in one more real quick. What you got for us?
Well, I think it's a great shout out to a great physician, and he was a wonderful clay artist. The Stuart Glassman Clay Studio at Art Place, state of the art facility on Asheville Highway that will meet the art community's need for a fully equipped clay studio. It'll have a grand opening, Mark, and a ribbon cutting at 12:30 p.m. Friday. That's this coming March 8th.
Yeah.
So check that out in the Art Place Studios at 2015 Asheville Highway. It's open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. So check all that out on page 8 of this week's Lightning.
All right. We couldn't get to all of our stories, which tells you there's a whole lot more still in this week's Lightning. So, Bill, people need to definitely pick up their copy. And we also need to continue to check your website, too, HendersonvilleLightning.com. How do they pick up their copy of this week's Lightning, the paper version?
Yeah. There is even more election analysis we're going to do, by the way. So,
oh, great.
I'm glad you said continue to check the HendersonvilleLightning.com and consume all that important news. Or if you want a copy of this week's print product, go all around the county to any of the Lightning Orange racks or call the or go on the website and click on subscribe in order to see how you too can join the growing legions of fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan. It's 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.